Hi, everybody. I'm glad that you're joining us online. It's funny. Just last week, we opened up service, and we had some people here, and now the dial has gone up, and we have empty chairs again. And I'm sorry for that. We're all missing everybody, but we're pressing on. That's what a church does. We continue moving forward because our mission is bigger than the church. What we are here for is bigger than the building. How we worship is bigger than meeting in person. We can still be the church. We can still carry through our mission of loving God, loving ourselves, loving our neighbors. We can still do that right here through the online service that we are having right now. The thing that I would love to ask is that if you are watching us right now, or if you're listening to us on a podcast or watching us later in the day, however you are watching us, I'd like to make a request, and that is that you share it. Share it with your friends. Go on the little bar up ahead and copy the link. Post it to your Facebook page. Email it to somebody that could use a reminder that even during our crazy times, that God is still God, and God is still love. Those are the messages that we are fighting hard to make sure that we continue to share. Today, in this environment, in our world today, we are almost pressured to be angry, to hate, to see people as enemies, to villainize people. In this world, we are encouraged to fight over and over again about various topics. But what we need in this world, more than that, is to know that God is love. And so I'm asking you, we do want to continue to grow this church. We need to grow this church. But more importantly than that, we need to reach out and let people know that love still exists, that love still happens, and that God is still that love. We can define what who we are by the events that plague us, challenge us, or we can define who we are by the faith that we have in Jesus Christ. That's the one we share. That's the one we share. The first church we've been doing this series called Being Joyful in Challenging Times. It's Paul writing letters from prison, and he's writing letters to these new church starts, almost like us. And he's been writing these letters of encouragement, and he's been writing letters of instruction. Paul doesn't know if he's going to be alive tomorrow. He's in prison. He doesn't know what his fate is. He doesn't know. His future is very uncertain. But his priority remains the same. His priority, even from that prison, even from that uncertainty, his priority is to make sure that the love of Jesus Christ continues to be spread. That people on the outskirts still are able to hear that they are loved, that they are celebrated, and that Christ is a safe place for them. That's his priority is building the kingdom of heaven, even though he doesn't know for sure when his next meal is going to be. He doesn't know if this is the last hour of his life on earth. But what he does know is that the kingdom of heaven and that Jesus Christ's love is the sure thing. And to his dying breath, he's going to make sure that his neighbors on the outside still know that. It's very important that we understand that as disciples of Jesus Christ. As people who call themselves Christians, we are to be more Christ-like. That is what we are called for, and that is the message that Paul has been trying to tell the early churches, and that's the message that he's trying to tell us today. We are Christians. We are disciples of Jesus Christ. That means that we know that our doors remain open, that we know that the love is not something that we covet or that we selfishly hold on to. We know that love is something that is to be shared, something that is to be paid forward, both in our actions and in our prayers. We are to carry that message of love, the love of Jesus Christ, forward. And we can do that by sharing the messages here. We can do that by telling people, just, have you heard Will? Did you hear him this morning? It's fantastic. Fantastic. Share it. If you hear anything in the message, in the prayer moment that Allison gave, share it. Let people know. Let people know that Christ loves them. That's the one common thing that we have. We are in a world right now where we think that the faith of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ is being threatened by political policy. That's very much what they were thinking back in the days of Paul. They thought that this Christian movement was actually something that a government or a law or a some sort of policy could bring down. Paul's in prison because he was sharing that message, because he was starting churches. And as we know, 2,000 years later, nothing's going to bring it down. A mere policy or a law or a vote, it doesn't change who Christ is. As a matter of fact, our vote is not the thing that should influence our faith. Our faith is the thing that should influence our vote. And we need to ask ourselves every time, whether we are voting, whether we are conversing, whether we are just walking out there in this crazy world that we're in, we need to be asking ourselves every time, am I living a life of Christ? Is the decisions I'm making, are the people I'm supporting, are the things that I'm doing, am I representing a disciple of Jesus Christ? That's what was important to Paul, sitting on a prison floor. He wasn't worried about his next meal, his next life. He wasn't worried about his comforts. He was worried about, do they know that they are loved by Jesus Christ? Do they share that one commonality? He wrote a lot of stuff in his letters, and one of the things that he addressed was something that a lot of people kind of skim over, but it's very significant in our times. This is a personal note. His letters were read to the church. They would receive his letters and they would read them. And he says, I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche. These were two women. I urge them to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you also, my loyal companion, help these women, for they have struggled. They have struggled beside me in the work of the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. These are two influential people of the church, and they're at odds right now, and Paul is addressing that. You know, when we have people that are influential in our lives, and they are at odds, we can be like children in a family where two parents are fighting. We can feel torn. Sides can oftentimes be taken. It can cause a ripple effect of dysfunction. And Paul is seeing that could happen in the church setting. We've seen it. If you've been in church, if you've grown up in a church, it happens in any church. If you've been in any organization or any time that a community gathers, it happens where influential people suddenly become at odds with one another and sides are taken. Private conversations are had, a little bit of backstabbing, a little bit of campaigning. And the message of what that community is, of what the organization is, of what the church is, starts to be put to the back burner in place of the latest rumors and drama going on. And Paul sees that threat is happening to the church in Philippi because of the two very influential leaders of the church are at odds. We don't know what they're at odds for, And, you know, if we look at this in Paul's light, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the odds are. What matters is that two people, two followers of Christ, are failing to see any common ground right now, and it is splitting and dividing people around him. He asks his loyal companion, we're not sure who the loyal companion is, but he asks the loyal companion to help moderate, to help bring these two folks together, to help them to reach a common ground, not to pick a side, not to chastise, but to help them find some harmony in their arguments. So much so that he says something very significant here. Help these women, for they have struggled beside me in the work of the gospel. They are with me, Paul is saying. They are my co-workers. They are in the book of life, which means they are part of this story of building the church and of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. They are a huge part of this. They've struggled with me. Respect them. Give them the dignity that they deserve and help them see through and see past their differences. What Paul is showing is what Christ does. We are in a divided world right now where we have factions on this side and we have factions on this side, and we are being encouraged daily to hate the other side, whatever side we're on. We are being encouraged to despise the other side, to not treat them, to not see them as even human beings, but as villains and enemies and something from a melodramatic play to where they are just to be put away. So much so that some sides have taken up arms. And there are reports that we, on voting and things like that, people are concerned about their safety. Paul reminds us by his actions here about seeing both of them as two people that are loved, as two people that he holds dear. He's showing us what Christ sees. That Christ, whether we agree with a side or not, we have to remember that Christ loves both. That Christ loves all. That Christ, who hung on the cross when people that were for him and against him said, forgive them. Christ, who told us and encourages us to love our enemy. Christ that tells us to love one another as Christ loves us. That's what Paul, the message that Paul, and remember, Paul is writing this from prison. Paul's got bigger things that you would think he has to worry about. But what he is worried about are two people that he loves dearly, not seeing eye to eye and separating the church. Those are the things that we are being challenged right here and now in our today time. We are having things happen to us right now that are dividing us. Whether it's politics, whether it's your religion. We have things in our life right now that is trying to separate us. Can we find common ground? Can we find ways that we can be of the same mind? We have people in our world right now that want to really do want to see great harm come to someone else. And that someone else wants to see great harm come to them. And both of them will stand up and they will call themselves Christians. Those are the things we have to be very, very careful of. Because as Christians, are we truly doing what Paul, that who was in prison, Paul that is writing to these churches, are we living out our lives the way that Christ challenges us to live out, challenges us? We often think that we just accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and suddenly things are just great and things are easy. It's a challenge. because we want to hate. The challenge is to not fall for that trap. The challenge is, no matter what is going on, to approach it the way that Christ would. Christ did fight for change. He did. Christ did get angry. Christ did fight for social justice. Christ never hated. And neither are we to do that. You know, when we're having conversations with people, it can be very easy to fall into a trap. We're coming up on in fall, and I've already heard from a number of our own people, including myself, worry about holidays. We're supposed to celebrate holidays when we can't even have a civil conversation. I'm scared to go to my family. I'm scared to have this family reunion coming up. I'm scared to have Thanksgiving. I'm scared to have Christmas. I don't even like these people anymore. What do we do when we have conversations with people that are so different, where one side is on the polar opposite of the other? What do we do? There are times when we sit down with somebody and we don't want to sit down with them. There are times when we want that person to just stop it. If they would just change, if they would just stop being an idiot. And immediately we start turning the two point of views into name calling. And we sit down and we have a conversation, and we know that we are right. We know that we are right. And if I just sit down with this person and I give those bullet points and I repeat the things that I heard on the news channel and all of that kind of stuff, then they will see. Very seldomly do we walk away from an argument that we are so impassioned about on both sides. It's kind of rare sometimes that in that first argument that we walk away agreeing. But we expect to every time. One of the problems that we have is we expect to walk into one of these debates and these things where we are on opposing sides. We expect to walk away victorious and being right. And rather than the person agreeing with us, when they don't agree with us, we walk away victorious, feeling right by chastising them, by turning them into something less than human, by calling them names like idiots, fools, hateful people. Those are the traps we can get into. Those are the traps that Paul is talking to about. Hey, we need to find some common ground here. Sometimes arguments and debates and things that we are passionate about on both sides do not get resolved in just one fist fight. And sometimes just a fist fight leads to a riot. Sometimes a riot leads to a war. Sometimes it's not solved overnight. And sometimes, if we really want to find that common ground, sometimes if we really want to find that understanding, sometimes it takes time. Sometimes it takes a pause. Sometimes it takes us listening more than speaking. Everybody wants us to hate somebody today. We even call it righteous. We think that if we are fighting a cause, we are fighting for a Christian cause if we hate the other side. Christ has been showing us for 2,000 years that there is a different way. He shows us that it's okay to say what you feel. It's okay not to hang on to something. If somebody says something to you that makes you feel a certain way, Christ encourages us to express that. That what you said there. I feel angry about that. I disagree with you about that. That kind of hurts my feelings. We're called to say what we feel, but we're called to do it in a way that still loves and respects the other person. And we're called to do it in a way that the outcome that we want is not to just change them, but to help us deal with the feelings within ourselves. Many times, if Will said something that offended me, many times what I want to do is I want to tell Will what I feel with the goal of changing Will. But the goal that I should have is being able to express and help nurture me. And still see Will as a human being. My goal is to remember the common ground that is between us. Whether I walk away in agreement with Will or disagreement with Will should not be the deterrent of whether or not I feel happy at the end. The deterrent should be whether or not I respected myself and I respected Will by sharing what I felt. And sometimes that means being able to walk away in disagreement. I have people in my life that for now it's just best that we stay apart from each other because there's clashes over certain things, and what we need is a pause. And sometimes those pauses take time. But I will never call them inhuman names. The challenge is I'm not called to hate them. We're never called to hate one another. We are called to have discussions, disagreements, but we are called to love each other. The two people that Paul was writing about were clashing, and it was breaking up the church. It was causing ripple effects. The common ground that they had is that both of them were loved by Jesus Christ. Both of them. And remember, 2,000 years later, we still don't know what the argument was about. And half the time, the things that we argue about 2 years later, 2 years ago, we don't remember what it was about today. We might remember that we still hate somebody, but we don't remember why. The thing that Paul is warning us about, the thing that Paul is warning us about 2,000 years ago that is still relevant today, is that those clashes can separate us, so much so that we start to dehumanize each other. We start to separate from each other. We start to feed into things like hatred, bigotry, prejudices. We lose the common ground. And what is the common ground? Christ. Because every one of us, no matter who we are, every one of us desires to be loved. And every one of us does desire to love. If we can think about that common ground, as we go on today, because it's just going to get more challenging, we fight for change. We fight for social justice. But the way that we define fight might be different when we look at it through Christ's eyes. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, the differences that we face in this world, the arguments that we have in this world, help us have productive conversations. Help us have productive discussions. Help us have productive debates. But help us to remember that every one of us is loved by you. Help us remember to respect, to dignify, to love. In a world that encourages us to fight, to be at war with one another, help us remember that you offered a different way. Help us to see you. And help us to see our neighbor as a friend. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray. Amen.